So here's what's going down with the Kiev attack in the Kursk region of Russia. As you know by now, this has been going on for quite some time. NATO and Kiev carried out a very well-planned incursion that has brought them something like 25 kilometers inside the border of Russia in the Kursk region, headed straight for the Kursk nuclear power plant. Now, apparently, this attack, which is, as far as I know, it's the first invasion of Russia proper since World War II. This attack involves over 12,000 troops and hundreds of armored vehicles, many of which have already been destroyed. I don't know how many troops have been destroyed, but apparently it was thousands of troops from various nations, not just Ukraine. And reportedly, some of these were the best troops. And they caught Russia by surprise. Russia did not have good defenses in that region because, of course, they've been focused elsewhere. And at first, there was a lot of confusion about this. Like, why are they attacking here? But very quickly, it became obvious. They're headed for the Kursk nuclear power plant. And as has been reported by numerous outlets linked to Russia and Russian sources, they are saying that the aim of the Ukraine forces, Kiev, is to set off a dirty bomb attack at the Kursk nuclear power plant in order to create a nuclear event, a large-scale, you know, nuclear release that would affect much of Europe and would therefore draw NATO into the war. And it is believed by many analysts that this would be disastrous ecologically, but that Ukraine is reaching a point of desperation and must have NATO more deeply involved in the war or they will lose. This is especially true given that Germany has just announced no more military aid to Ukraine, period. It goes to zero. Now, at first, it was believed by many analysts that this maneuver by Ukraine, this attack into Russia, was only intended to achieve a better negotiation position because Ukraine is ending its ability to wage war. It's running out of men, it's running out of equipment, it's running out of, you know, funding from countries like Germany, and so it's going to have to sit down at some point and negotiate with Russia what are the terms of the peace, if you call it peace, or the ending of hostilities. And Ukraine would be in a better position to do that if it had seized the nuclear power plant in the Kursk region or other facilities there, including armories or oil production or gas production, not oil, but gas production in that region, which is my understanding they had seized at least one gas operations plant in that area. I don't know the current status. Obviously, the information is pretty sketchy coming out of there because it's war. But if Ukraine, i.e. NATO, if they do plan to carry out some kind of a radiological release or a dirty bomb attack, and then to blame it on Russia potentially, this could be a major escalation of the war situation there. And it would cause a worldwide panic in terms of, you know, radiation fallout, especially in Europe. But of course, all the countries in the Northern Hemisphere would share in some level of radiation fallout, and probably what you would see would be a panic for people to buy things like iodine or radiation meters or anything that could protect them from radioactive fallout. A lot of things would happen, and this would be the biggest, obviously, the biggest radiation disaster since, well, Chernobyl. I mean, in that region. Chernobyl was, I believe, 1986. Fukushima was larger, but that's far away in Japan in 2011, I believe. But 1986, Chernobyl, massive release of radiation. At that time, of course, Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union. Today, it is not. Things are very different today. You know, the state of war is, you know, more aggressive, more vicious. So this could escalate very quickly. And on top of that, two things that have come out of Russia that are relevant here. One is that I believe it's Medvedev has said that if there is an attack on the Kursk nuclear power plant, there would be severe retaliation from Russia. Don't know what that would look like, but you can imagine that, you know, if the West sort of takes it nuclear, Russia might possibly, although they haven't said this, but just as a educated guess, Russia might say, well, then we can retaliate with nuclear weapons, possibly. Let's hope it doesn't come to that, but that's a possibility. The second significant statement to come out of Russia, and I regret I don't recall right offhand who said this, but it appears to be an official under Putin, is that the time for Ukraine to negotiate is now over. There's no more negotiation. There's now going to be either, according to Russia, complete surrender, that is unconditional surrender of all of Ukraine, or Russia will take all of Ukraine and will eliminate the Ukraine government in its entirety. That's a big statement. I'm not sure that Russia could make good on that when you start involving Western Ukraine, where the people despise Russia. You know, it's one thing to occupy the Donbass region or to even fold them into Russia, because the people of the Donbass region are themselves, you know, very much pro-Russian, by and large. You know, ethnic Russians, they speak Russian, they even voted to make themselves part of Russia. That's not going to be the case in Western Ukraine. So the resistance on the street would be far more aggressive there. And plus, that would put Russia much closer to countries like Poland and Romania, where there are, of course, Western bases with aircraft that can engage in bombing raids and so on. So war in Western Ukraine would be very difficult for Russia to win. Potentially they could if they are seriously committed to a multi-year war, but I doubt that's what Russia is looking for. So maybe these are just strong words. Let's hope so. I don't want to see any more war in the region. I don't want to see anybody die. Now, the other significant development in all of this involves Germany. Now, Germany has suffered about a 40% collapse of its industrial base because of the destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines, which provided it with cheap, affordable gas energy from Russia via Gazprom. Well, you and I know that the United States Navy destroyed the Nord Stream pipelines. Joe Biden promised that this would happen. Victoria Nuland promised that it would happen. You know, even before the 2020 election, they said that we will destroy this pipeline. Well, now, according to official Western sources, they're saying that Zelensky had it destroyed, that Zelensky gave the order for some small crew in a boat. It's being called the Gilligan's Island attack on the Nord Stream pipelines, like a fishing boat and the skipper and the professor, you know, and Marianne and Ginger, and they all went down deep and they bombed Nord Stream, right? Yeah, of course, it's hilarious because it's not believable, but Germany has to fall in line with that narrative because they're part of NATO, so they have to carry water for the NATO lies. So Germany is now faced with a situation where they're saying, why are we providing military support to Ukraine when Ukraine bombed Nord Stream pipeline that has destroyed our industrial base? It makes no sense. It's like, why are you funding the terror regime that destroyed your affordable energy? So Germany is now saying, no more money for Ukraine. That's it. It goes to zero at this point. No more weapons, no more money, nothing. So with Germany out of the picture, where's Ukraine going to get more of its weapons? Well, the United States, there's some amount from the U.S., but the U.S. doesn't have the industrial capability to manufacture what they want to send Ukraine. So Ukraine is running out of tanks and missiles and artillery and men and drones, everything else you can imagine. This is coming to an end pretty soon. We don't know exactly when, but it's not far away. A matter of a few months, perhaps. Maybe by the end of this year or early next year. It's really not clear. Part of it probably depends on who wins the election in the U.S. as well. But that's a snapshot of what's going on there. Germany's not happy. Ukraine is in this last-ditch desperate move in the Kursk region. We might have a radiological false flag event in the region that would set off global panic. And Russia did get caught with its pants down over the Kursk region there. Somebody messed up and left it undefended. So keep all that in mind, folks. This is going to get very interesting very quickly. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. Take care.
All right, this is Mike Adams here. We're going to talk about all these different forms of gold and silver today. Let me give you my website too. Some of these companies that offer these are sponsors, and we disclose the links and the sponsors and the discount codes at rangerdeals.com. So here you can see, like, here's the Prepper Bar sponsor. Here's our lab verified Goldbacks sponsor or affiliate. And then if you scroll down, this is our Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals company. And let's start over here with this pile of silver spoons and stuff. And yes, you could trade these, you know, in some kind of barter situation, but it's not a format that is easy to know how much it's worth. Next to that, we have so-called junk silver coins here. These happen to be dimes, and this is also called constitutional silver, but this is another form of silver that can be very popular. You can get these from our sponsor here, which is the, right here, Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. Then you've got silver bars here. So this is a 0.999 silver bar. I don't know, that's a pretty big chunk of silver right there. It's a way to store bulk silver. So not such a great form for everyday commerce. Next, we go to silver coins. So these are 1 ounce silver rounds. They're quite beautiful and easily recognizable. These are available from different mints all over the world. If you want to get these coins, also, you can go to the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. They are a sponsor of ours, and you can check their prices in real time. They've got them available, insured, discreet delivery straight to your door. Now, then the next one, this is the newest one. These are the Prepper Bars right here. So these are designed to where you can just break off a chunk like this, so it's divisible, right? And these Prepper Bars come in this format. It's a plastic case with a very nice design of the eagles on one side, and then on the back is, it tells you how many ounces. And so this is available now at prepperbar.com, and you use discount code RANGER, and you'll save 10% off of these bars. They also are selling gold bars in the same way, where you can break them off and make them highly divisible. So this is useful in a collapse scenario or a barter or a, you know, farmer's market, local commerce type of scenario where you need to break down the metal and you need to make it into, you know, some kind of recognizable, divisible amount. That's a good way to do that. All right, now moving on, then we have gold coins over here. Obviously, these gold coins are worth, you know, a couple thousand dollars each, a little bit more, 1 ounce gold coins. But again, hard to break down, because how do you chop one into 1,000 pieces? The answer to that is these gold bags. And each one of these has 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold literally in it. It's embedded in the bill. And these are available at verifiedgoldbacks.com. So goldbacks make gold divisible, tradable. Again, if you want to know our sponsors and our sources or affiliates in this realm, go to rangerdeals.com and you can see a lot of other special deals that we have for you. Just go to rangerdeals.com and you'll see what we have available for you, the discount codes we've put together. Thank you for your support. Take care.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.